Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
But John, this is amazing days,
yes,
isn't it?
Very amazing. I've never seen so much fulfillment of prophecy. It's coming so rapid and so quick. You really need to pay attention.
If you don't even know prophecy, it's too late to even catch up. Yeah. You got to find somebody who does, because it's happening. It's happening quickly. It's being fulfilled. So I think about, you know, when you're looking at Russia coming in to Syria, you know, just look at what happened at the UN when the president was talking to President Putin, President Obama was, and he gave him that frown, that brow look.
Yeah.
It's like, I thought maybe he might not. He stepped out of that meeting. He did everything that you wouldn't think he would have done. Now, we're actually fighting on opposite sides in Syria. It's sort of like Afghanistan, if you think about how Afghanistan happened years ago and Russia lost that. But now we're weaker. Our economy's stretched out. We've got $20 trillion in debt. I mean, we are on the edge of much prophecy being fulfilled. Why would even Putin come down there? People have all these theories about, you know, fuel his economy. But God's word said, I'll put a hook in his jaw and bring him down and put something in his heart and decide I'm going to do this. And you're looking at some pretty wild things. And remember this, we're going to listen to Eric Stockelbach with Watchmen just a moment to kind of give us a mindset about it. But, you know, we think in America, we think big, everything's big. I want to supersize that, you know. I'll never forget when I was in Israel and I went to the store, you know, and it's like everything was like 8 ounces of this, 3 ounces of that.
We would say small in America. They would say normal.
And so we think 350 million people in all this vast land, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Israel has 75 miles wide at its widest point with 8 million people.
Wow.
You think about 8 million people, that's it. And it's being surrounded by these nations that are coming in. And sad to say, our nation is involved in that. Our leaders are. So let's listen to Eric Stockelbach with Watchmen, CBN, understanding where we are right now prophetically. Take a look at this.
Well, Russia is in the Middle East. Folks, this is a massive game changer to see the Russians, a military powerhouse with a massive nuclear arsenal, openly aligning themselves with Islamic terrorists in the form of Hezbollah and Iran on the Syrian battlefields. So why should you care about the Russian bear driving into the Middle East? My CBN News colleague Dale Hurd takes a closer look.
Since the beginning of Russia's military buildup in Syria, world leaders have been wondering what Vladimir Putin is really up to. Yes, Putin wants to rescue his ally, the brutal Syrian dictator Bashar al-Assad, from losing a bloody civil war. And Russia would like to hang on to its naval facility in the Syrian port of Latakia. But is that all Putin is after? Or does he have other goals as well?
We don't truly understand yet what it is that Russia is going to do in Syria.
What experts do know is that Vladimir Putin could create a lot of trouble in the Middle East. But in the process, he could also boost the ailing Russian economy, an economy that is still in the tank from low oil prices and from Western economic sanctions over Russia's annexation of Crimea. And despite Putin's efforts to diversify the economy, it still lives or dies with energy prices.
The ruble is very sensitive to the moves of oil prices. So if oil becomes cheaper, the ruble does the same.
Putin has taken a big gamble with the public at home by going into Syria. Polls show most Russians opposed sending troops to Syria. But perhaps Putin realizes that by moving into Syria, he can protect his ally Assad and gain the side benefit of rising oil prices, thus boosting the Russian economy and his standing at home. Russia's military buildup and bombing campaign in Syria have revived the so-called security premium, a small rally in oil prices based on the fear of shortages in other parts of the world because of war in the Middle East. A big escalation in fighting could mean a big escalation in oil prices. Russia is also competing with the Saudis for energy customers. And war in the Middle East makes Saudi supplies look less reliable. And with its new airbase in Syria, Russia could coordinate with Iran to disrupt shipments from Persian Gulf and Red Sea terminals. So by unleashing his military in Syria, Vladimir Putin could kill two birds with one stone, both saving an ally and reviving Russia's oil-based economy. Dale Hurd, CBN News.
Thanks, Dale. You know, folks, I say this Russian drive into the Middle East is a historical game changer for a few major reasons. Number one, once again, Russia remains a military powerhouse. Maybe not to the levels, of course, that it was during the Soviet era, but they are rapidly modernizing and advancing and rebuilding their military as we speak. And number two, Russia obviously has a massive nuclear arsenal. And what that means, and this is why it is so unprecedented, is that Hezbollah, an Islamic terror group with plenty of American blood on its hands, and the Iranian regime, including the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Corps, the Quds Force, folks, they now effectively have a nuclear umbrella in the form of Russia. The Iranians, Hezbollah, have to feel very empowered and emboldened right now. They have the Russian bear behind them, and Russia, again, is in Syria. This is right at Israel's doorstep. And you know what's interesting, folks? A lot of people are saying that this is prophetic. They're saying that Vladimir Putin, as described in Ezekiel 38 and 39 in the Bible, has had a hook placed in his jaw that has brought him down to the Middle East on the doorstep of the land of Israel. If you look at the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, chapter 39, we've talked about it before here on the show. It talks about a great confederation, a military confederation coming against Israel in the latter days. It's called the War of Gog and Magog. Funny name, I know, but a lot of prophecy scholars and experts believe that Magog is actually Russia. The Bible talks about a country to the uttermost north of Israel. Look on a map, folks, that's Russia, leading this invasion force, which includes Persia, which is modern-day Iran. Fancy that. And we now have Russia and Iran getting closer and closer, and Russia is now in the Middle East. And folks, they are not going anywhere. They're there to stay. And as Dale said in his story, look, they have their eyes on all of that Middle Eastern oil again.
When you think about how people handle reality, most people really have this mode they go into and they just say, okay, I'm shutting down.
Yeah.
They said, what was it? What percentage was involved in the American Revolution?
8%. 8% of the population.
8%. 8% of, you know, because you think about all these great Americans that were around
during
that day.
Which means 92% were totally disengaged of what was even happening.
It reminds me of Bridget Gabriel, you know, when she was talking about the majority is always irrelevant.
Silent majority.
So many people are waiting for the majority to do something, then they say, I'm going to act at that point.
Right.
And that'll never happen. It just doesn't happen. I mean, look, even God, when he said, I want to make myself known, there was just 12 actually 13, including him, walking on the face of the earth to change all of eternity,
right?
You know? And so having, you know, being in tune to what's going on right now, this is so serious. Imagine if you are Israel, and when you just saw our previous program, probably yesterday, the day before, when you had, you know, children are being called knives of Jerusalem, being born in the Gaza Strip, the Palestinian leadership, that the religious leaders of Islam is saying, you know, take these knives and intifada and all the stuff. And you're being, and it's like, this is major days. But John, I'm noticing everybody's lethargic. Everybody's just kind of caught in their little quagmire, you know.
Lethargic, and we don't have a grid. One of the things that I was able to get, which was perspective when I went to Israel, was to see how close a proximity in which they're fighting. I mean, literally, it's like throwing, you know, a grenade from one street across the road.
And well, they're going to the bus stops are being stabbed. They're doing, and everybody has to serve at least two tours of duty in Israel, in the IDF, Israeli Defense Force. So these are not people that grew up and said, "Hey, I want to be a soldier." They are loyal people to the state of Israel, and they're saying, "You have to serve 2 years." Mm-hmm. So this is like your daughter and your son, who just graduated from high school, turns, I guess, 18 years old, and they got to put 2 years to defend their country. So they're standing there trying to protect their other fellow citizens, and all of a sudden these long daggered knives are being stabbed into their clavicles, into their backs, being hacked. I mean, this is just, but I'm concerned about what is it going to take to wake us up, you know? I think about Dietrich Bonhoeffer when he's talking to all of Germany going, you know, wake up. And it was eight churches, John. Eight churches. Everybody's talking about Dietrich today. But it was eight churches that said yes to Dietrich Bonhoeffer and said, yes, Hitler is not, this is not right.
Wow.
And this Nazism and what's happening to the Jews is wrong. And it was only eight.
All we need to do is look at history. It's already happened. And you would think that somebody outside of eight people, eight churches, eight pastors will wake up and say, I think this Hitler guy, I think this is a bad idea.
And I just want to encourage you, if you're with the talker and not a walker, you better watch out because they'll just run. I talked to somebody recently, and this is their plan. Their plan is, I'll just throw my hands up if something goes down. It's like, you should have been hearing all along, you know?
Yeah.
But just, not only is Russia, John, in Syria, which is right there on top of Israel. Imagine these jets are flying. All this is happening right in this small little 70-mile-wide piece of real estate, you know, and America's fueling, our leaders are fueling this whole mindset of all that's going on. At the same time, the New York Times is reporting that Russian subs are hovering over those cables that connect us to the world in the ocean. Mm. As a matter of fact, listen right now, this is MSNBC doing a part on it, and we'll begin to talk about it. Understand, so Russia's in Syria doing what they're doing there. And told us to get out of there, by the way. They came and gave us an hour to get out of there. And now they're over the cables that connect us to the world. Take a look at this.
A story that sounds like it's right out of a Cold War spy novel. Russian submarines have been getting uncomfortably close to undersea data cables, raising concerns that they may try to cut them, which could disrupt internet communications and trillions of dollars in international business transactions. The report from the New York Times says there's no sign a cyber attack on the U.S. is imminent, but Russian aggression elsewhere has American officials on edge. Joining me now is former Admiral James Stravitis, who served as NATO's top military commander. He's currently the dean of the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. Admiral, thank you very much for being with me.
Hi, Jose.
Tell me about these cables. What do you think they'd want to cut them, or what would they be willing or able to do with them?
Well, let's back up. There's about 250 of these cables. They line the bottom of the ocean. They're as deep as Mount Everest is tall. And only 250 of them, Jose, they carry 99% of all the information that moves on the internet. So it's a huge Achilles heel. What Russia potentially could do is cut them. They can surveil them, they can target them, they can extract intelligence from them. And they're doing this in a pretty overt way, which is sending pretty strong signals and does sound a little like the Cold War coming back.
Yeah, and I mean, the commander of the U.S. Naval Forces in Europe recently said that the intensity of Russian submarine patrols has risen 50% in the last year. That can't all be about undersea cables, can it?
Not at all. Let's put it in the geopolitical context. Here we have President Putin. He wants to appear very strong at home to his domestic audience. He wants to be an international player. He wants to have impact in Syria. He's annexed part of Ukraine, the Crimea. So what's he doing? He's flying long-range bombers over NATO territory. He's building bases in the Arctic. And he's pushing his submarine force to these kind of missions. When you put it in that context, it's pretty understandable. Russian behavior, and unfortunately kind of reminiscent of what we saw back during the Cold War.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you recently wrote that this is another example of Russia using the tools of the Cold War. Knowing that, what can we expect from Russia? And it's actually using some of its key allies around the world to help pressure points, right?
Indeed it is. And here you kind of have to turn to the Middle East and see what's happening with Russian support for Syria. It's not just Russia going in and backing this heinous Assad regime, you know, barrel bombs, chemical weapons, torture, but it's also Russia building an axis that really stretches from Iran through the Shia elements in the Iraqi political context through Damascus with Syria. That axis is quite disturbing, and I think it will make settlement much more difficult in the Middle East, Jose.
Admiral James Stravitis, thank you very much for being with me. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks a lot, Jose.
So you got Russia. You got Russia in Syria, which is basically the hair of Israel in the crown of their head. You have Iran, which is on the eastern border of Iran and Iraq, because they've come into and made an alliance there. Our biggest military base for America now is in Qatar. We won't talk about that later. And so now their submarines, according to the New York Times and what they're reporting here, is hovering over that thing that connects the economy. How much of our economy?
Wow.
You know, they talk about the Y2K type thing happening. Yeah. Now imagine just cutting. Forget about the date change. You know, just cutting it, you know?
So much money and connectivity would be lost instantly. What would that, I mean, it's huge, huge impact.
Yeah, total impact. When we get back from this break, not only are they there in their submarines, there's reported they were off our coast around November, you know, in Thanksgiving time last year. Their aircraft and some submarines have been supposedly reported. We have some prophetic dreams about that. But also, they are in the East China Sea.
Yes.
Right now, planning on doing something pretty significant. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk about this, because think about this. America is the one that provides the defense for Japan. And look how America is. And when you see the size of China and what China is doing, and this supposed prophetic dream that was given to Michael Bodia in regards to Russia, China and North Korea, it's just coming to pass right now. You know, the East China Sea, they're building islands down there. You know, if you don't have any, like, China needs more land.
Exactly.
But to get around all these different, you know, you got so many miles off your borders before you get to international territory. Why not just build new land?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you probably can see it right now. Look at these islands. You can see this image right here. This is, you're seeing over here on the far left, is how it was about 2000, March 2014. And they began to pump sand in here, John, and build this land in the East China Sea. And now the middle, you know, it got that way about 7 months later and about a year later. Now they have base, they have military weapon grade things reportedly on that particular island out there.
Wow.
And this is like, okay, what's going on? Well, you think about it, you know, God says that he will not do nothing or allow something to happen without telling it to his folks first. And that's people that are hearing prophetically. And some of the prophetic dreams and visions that several have had that Russia and North Korea and China, way back when, you can go back to our previous programs and you could see it. We're not just saying these things, that there was going to be a deal cut. You know, why does the American dollar have to be the dominant currency?
Right.
And when you just see it hitting away at it, and to be truthful, it looks like our leadership is in partnership with cahoots with saying, hey, why do we need to be?
Kind of looks that way, doesn't
it? Kind of looks that way. But I, you know, it feels like Jehoiakim, though, more so, because it will stop if we just say, God, we're sorry. God, we've sinned. We're going to turn back to you. And he says, if my people who are called by my name, and that, we're going to talk about that. Hopefully we get a chance to talk about, you know, rethinking church again. Because think about this. If what we were doing now was working, this junk wouldn't be going on.
That's right.
This just wouldn't be going on. So we need to rethink about what we're doing and listening to the Lord. So you see that right there. So what happened is, when they started building these islands out here, China did, we just sent warships in to the China South Sea to be able to let Beijing know, hey, you know, you need to knock this off. Why would we even do that? And you have to understand that Japan, we'll show it in a minute, but just first take a look at this. I want you to see this. This is what we just did. You're not hearing much about it, but we just sent warships there to be able to bow up and say, hey, you can't do this. Knock this stuff off.
Would have been a good idea to do that early on before they had the island.
Well, what happened was, I heard they stood on the shores of China and waved our credit cards going, hey, remember?
Yeah.
And they kind of took the ships and said, we own your debt. Don't you remember that? Let's take a look right now.
Meanwhile, the U.S. is facing new tensions with China. It's a dispute with Beijing over its attempt to take over islands in the South China Sea. China issued warnings today after an American Navy warship sailed past one of the islands. China's foreign ministry said the actions of the U.S. warship have threatened China's sovereignty and security interests, jeopardized the safety of personnel and facilities on the reefs, and damaged regional peace and stability. Navy officials say the maneuver was necessary to assert the U.S. position China cannot create man-made islands in order to claim they have sovereign rights over other disputed islands.
This is serious stuff. I mean, this is like, remember we started, I know we in America, it's like, okay, Syria, Russia's in Syria.
Yeah.
They're partnering with the king of Syria, Assad, who was almost defeated by the people of Syria because Syria because King Assad killed 250,000 plus, you know, reportedly, of his people. And Iran is working with the president of Russia, who is working with the president of Assad. And this is all happening in the hair, the crown of the head of Israel.
Wow.
At the same time, America's cutting deals with nuclear capabilities for Iran. You know, thank you, Senator Kerry, and
kind of goes.
Yeah, President Barack Obama. They're saying this deal is a good deal. And of course, you heard us on the program and you heard Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. This is not a good deal. And all this is happening around the earth. It's a perfect storm. And they compared, I believe it was President Putin that wrote an article, but somebody was reading an article on The Blaze. It was Glenn Beck saying that America is like Syntex, that it's safe. But if there's a trigger point, because Syntex, you can throw it around, it doesn't blow up. But if a trigger, if you have a trigger on it, then it will blow up. It's like there's so many triggers right now. I mean, think about what was it, World War One. It started because of an Archduke Ferdinand moment. Just one man gets killed in Bosnia, one prince. Moment. And it's like we've had like thousands and thousands of Archduke Ferdinand moments. And you're just thinking, you know, what's going on? And you saw where Rick Joyner was seeing what was going to happen with Morningstar Ministries. You know, what's going to happen in our country. And you're looking at nobody backing off of that and continuing to fuel that particular mindset. And I don't know if you're reading Jeremiah right now, but I'm reading Jeremiah going, we got to wake up. This is when God gets upset and we can't, no matter what anybody's telling you, if you read the word of God, we can hurt the heart of God. God's patience with us can get to the point where he says, you know, now I'm going to discipline you.
Yeah.
You know, 70 million innocent babies killed in the womb, this innocent bloodshed, and you voted, I got put it right in your face with all these Center for Medical Progress videos. You got to see firsthand what it is. Your representatives, 530 folks in this 350 million population,
that's right,
property, capital or state or nation,
country,
and they still wanted to fund it.
Yeah.
They still wanted to be able to fund it. And it is just crazy what's going on. When we get back from this break, I'm going to show you a map of the eastern China Sea there so you can see where these islands are, where you can see where China is. And remember that after World War II, that Japan could no longer legally, according to the world treaties, whatever trade thing, a treaty they signed, they could not have their own military. America said, we'll defend you. You don't need any weapons. And that's still today, which means if we can't even defend ourselves, if we can't even defend our borders, if we can't even defend Israel, we can't even defend our allies, how are we going to defend our ally, Japan?
That's
and
right.
By the way, all the iPod and iPhones and all those things out there, all these processors and all this, they are a huge contributor to America's now, the now America.
Sure. Technology.
And imagine this. Imagine if China just said, okay, America, you're limping. Russia's saying, America, you're limping. We're going to go after it. We're going to go after the oil. We're going to go after Israel. We're going to go after Japan. While we can even, you know, this is amazing days, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Amazing days. I want to encourage you to look up because this means our Lord is coming soon. And I want to encourage you, when we come back from this break, to talk about the church, that we're more than a building. We're a people that Jesus died for. How do we function as the church? We're vulnerable in Syria. We're vulnerable in the oceans.
Yeah.
You know, I think about the prophetic vision the Lord gave me where it didn't make sense at the time, but this particular lady took me back in the back of this control room, and it's every part of the earth was being monitored, right? And she showed me a particular monitor that was had, you know, the where a camera was focused in on a piece of the world. It was a piece of the ocean in the middle of nowhere.
Wow.
And it was a small little patch of ocean that was being watched, right? Mm. And I think about, you know, Cindy Granger and the prophetic dream that she just had about, you know, she's having the newspapers, and in the newspapers, there's redacted areas. Different areas are all blacked out, and the Lord was just showing her communications were being blocked. And you're looking at Russia over our communication lines right there in the ocean as we speak. I mean, the oceans are as deep as Mount Everest is as high. So those cables are all down there. 250 of them.
That's it.
Just 250 of them. And I think, you know, we're just giving people bad looks, but we're not really going to do anything. It's, no. it's like we're not going to do.
And they know that. Yeah. They know that. Our fruit and our history, in particular in the last 5 years, mm-hmm. has proven such.
And I think, too, that we need to really begin to rethink the church, because all these things are going on. When these things happen as Christians, you know, we get very excited, because Christian means Christ follower. Our Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back for his church. You know, he's mm-hmm. going to come back. He's preparing a place for those that are his, those who are his, and that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he is going to rule as king. But there's going to be prophetic fulfillments, things taking place in the earth. And what we need to do as the church, we need to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. We need to do what the Lord wants us to do as the church. And we need to think about it. Like we said just recently, according to George Barna, the American church is spending $1.3 million, John, per baptized believer.
Wow.
I mean, think about that. We're the richest country in the world. Our poorest person's richer than 70% of the world's population. We're the third largest country. And the church is here in this whole thing, and 51 million of us didn't even vote in the election.
Last
that's going
election
on.
Reports yes. are that of just 10 million,
yes,
evangelical Christians would show up and vote. It would change.
It would determine the outcome. Yeah. 10 million.
Just 10.
And you look at other countries, and what they're having to do is they have to battle, like it's happening in Syria, trying to change their leadership. That's how historically outside of this experiment called the United States of America. Right. That's how the power switched. But we, through a representative government, have been able to vote for our leaders. And that's what you can do, is go out and vote. So it's just as aggressive to go out and get informed and pray about who you're going to vote for and pull that lever as it is for what's going on in Syria. Mm. Because that's an exchange of they're trying to vote for different leadership, and he's trying to vote to stay in. And people are dying everywhere. That's how it used to be prior to this experiment with America. Yeah. You know, that's why the pilgrims came over. So the church, I mean, think about the freedom that we have in America right now. I think this, John, I really do. I believe that we're going to be asked questions in history, and they're going to say, why did you squander all that freedom that you had? You could have done anything, anything, but you just watched ball games, right?
That's it. Imagine that. Right. How could they do that?
Yeah, they're just talking about something. It's a Mets fan. Anyway, so, but think about this. I mean, what are we doing with our time? What are we doing? I mean, we're going to have to answer for this. Do you know this? When we stand before the throne of God, and everybody will, no witnesses or no suspects. You're not going to have anybody there you can blame why you did or didn't do. I mean, that's the big boy. Since the 60s, I mean, they've convinced everybody you can blame your life on someone else, right?
And you're good. It's a pass.
Yeah. But it doesn't work in the kingdom of God. God takes, you have to take ownership of your life. Each man has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we each have to repent for our own choices. Mm-hmm. And also, here we are at the point of saying, you know, what are we going to do about it? Aren't you just tired of hearing somebody just try to get you excited again to do nothing? At what point? And we're supposed to be doers of the word of God. You know, we're supposed to be together. There's supposed to be order. There is function. But we're supposed to be doing something. I mean, you think about Assad in Iran right now, the pastor Assad, that he's in the depths of that prison, winning prisoners to the Lord, Muslim prisoners to the Lord.
Saeed,
I meant, and in Iran, which we didn't even free up when we went there. And he was there in the midst of that Muslim culture to be able to minister to Christians and to orphans. Mm-hmm. And it's like, John, can we even awaken the church? We see the church divided. The church divided, and it's divided over programs and these other things, instead of saying, you know, if you're fighting in a war, let's put it that way, if you're fighting in a war and you're in a foxhole together and you understand that that's the enemy and we're fighting with each other.
What does that say? What does that say when we can rally more people in our churches to participate in the trunk or treat than we can to rally them to pray? Right. For the persecuted church, for Israel, in the times that we're living in now. Look at everything that's happening. There's never been a moment you can imagine that where people have been so motivated to do something, or at least the need to do something.
And it should be 50-50. I mean, 50% pray, 50% do. Yeah. And when you do the 50% do, you'll have no problem with praying.
That's right. Right?
You'll be talking to God all the time. But it's amazing. It's like Americans are drunk on money. They're drunk on wealth. They're drunk on substance. And we're going to have to answer to this. That means being impaired. They can't think straight. And it's like, we have to answer for this. Can we sober ourselves? And he says, you know, be sober and be alert, you know. And he says that even great deception would fall in the last days, and even the very elect would be deceived if it was possible. So great deception would fall. And when we're seeing these great turmoil take place with Israel, with Christians being persecuted, 80% of all persecuted religious folks, and right now, 80%, they're Christians. And we need to pray for them. Matter of fact, I want to pray right now, and I want to ask you to pray for us as well, but I want to pray with you right now. Father God, I thank you, Father God, that you are with those who are yours. I thank you, Lord God, that you protect those that are yours. And I just pray protection over our audience. I just pray encouragement. God, I just pray for a shaking to come, to be awakened for this day and this time, Lord God, that you would awaken us, that we would not fall asleep, but we would stand straight and stand the watch and do what's required of this age. Father God, I pray right now for those that are watching and those that are listening, Father God, that they would arise to this occasion, Father God, begin to question everything that's not lining up with your word and your ways, Father God, that we would not be asleep, but we would wake up. Dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, Father God. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. Amen. God bless you, and thank you so much for joining us. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.